The last paragraph of chapter 52. Jinde got off the phone, thankful that Winston had supported his decision. He needed the validation. He'd found it nowhere else, not even from his mother. When he had told her of his plan to return home, she had wondered why he was coming back. When others were running out of Limbe, when many in his age group were fleeing to Bahrain and Qatar, or trekking and taking a succession of crowded buses to get from Cameroon to Libya, as they would cross to Italy on leaky boats and arrive there with dreams of a happier life if the Mediterranean didn't swallow them alive. Is Assorted Immigrant Stories podcast. My name is Zenith Mwangahamambamalao, and I am your host. And for those of you that are stopping by for the very first time, this is a podcast about immigrant journeys, the things I and others wish we knew. We have interviews and share conversations with immigrants from diverse backgrounds and countries as they share their own immigration stories. We explore struggles, triumphs, and cultural adjustments. We discuss identity, belonging, and community, and we also highlight successes and contributions to both American society and back home, and that's wherever home might be. We also review some books that touch on the immigrant story. So don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. To have Stella Karimi here today. She is a book lover. She's from Kenya, Eastern Africa, but resides here in Baltimore. She is joining me today to break down the thought-provoking novel, Behold the Dreamers by Mbolo Mbuwe. Be sure to buy this book and read it. Very insightful. Stella is a sister from another mother, and as someone who knows firsthand the experiences of immigration.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, Zenith.
All right. It's such a pleasure. And before we go into it, I'll just give a brief summary. Behold the Dreamers it's a powerful novel that explores the complexities of immigration, the American dream, and economic inequality. The stories follows Jinde and his wife, Neni. They're the Jongas. I think his real name is James. They're a couple from Cameroon. And they're in New York, they're immigrants, and they do navigate some challenges living their own country and then in a new country. So as we dive into our discussion, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the novel, Stella. Just, you know, your general, what resonated with you the most, and how did you relate to the characters' experiences as an immigrant yourself?
I love how she develops, like, the characters. I love the story. It's very relatable to me, especially as an immigrant. You see, it goes back and forth with the main character, Jinde. You know, you can see his thoughts. He's in Cameroon thinking about how he's gonna come to America. And he finally gets here and he's able to bring his family. And, you know, they're here, they're hopeful. But then with the immigration struggles, everything takes a turn and it's like a full circle moment, and they finally go back home to Cameroon. So I really love the story, very relatable. I loved how the writer told everything, everybody's character. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
I agree with you. One of my favorite books as well. Now, it's a wonderful story. I feel like it touches on every complex issue an immigrant might face. Like, really, whether it's deportation, a visa expiring, seeing the judge, being an international student, not being able to pay for school fees, like finding a job, like so many different situations that you can find yourself in I feel like mm-hmm. they're in this book. Yeah, so I love how the characters were developed as well. And truly, you do see Jende's hopes and dreams from the beginning, him arriving in America, working hard, bringing his family here, mm-hmm. but until everything falls apart. And it's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does Nene's ambition shape their family's journey?
I mean, Nene is very ambitious. I mean, if you read the book, you'll see that she comes to America. She comes from Cameroon. She wasn't really doing much back there in Limbe. She was basically just getting up every morning, cooking and cleaning for her family. And just that would just be like her daily life, you know? She finally gets the opportunity to come to America. Now, coming to America means so much for her, means so much for her family, means so much for her children, you know? Mm-hmm. So coming, she has so much hope for the future. Nene just wants to come to America and she's like, her future is bright. She's filled with so much hope. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. Nene, very ambitious.
Yeah.
Very ambitious. And her ambition, how did it shape their family? Well, obviously, which is why Jende was working so hard, right? To also support her ambition. But I also feel like she became very narrow-minded to that ambition.
Correct. Like she really had this one goal, which was to remain in America.
Right.
Despite all odds.
Yes.
That was the one thing she wanted.
Yes. And I feel like once it was like she had like, it was almost like a narrow focus.
Yes.
And I feel like she was almost going to break her family up.
Yes.
Because of that narrow focus. But, you know, I guess she still loves Jende and she still wants her family together. So eventually she does give up. And even in going back, I don't know if she was ever happy going back home.
She was not fully settled. Mm-hmm. She really just wanted to remain in America, mm-hmm. regardless of the outcome. She just wanted to remain here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe if she could have even opened her mind to see, you know, seek other opportunities, and maybe they could have even stayed here, but we'll get into that, you know, that's going to come. So obviously Jende is the main character and his wife Nene, but you know, there are other people here too. So we'll touch up on them a little bit because they do tie into the story. What were your first impressions of Clark and Cindy Edwards?
Clark and Cindy Edwards, wealthy, upper class, mm-hmm. Wall Street New Yorkers. I mean, when you first meet them, it just feels like, you know, these people are so like in their own world, you know, like Jende's world and their world, very different. Like, what could they even possibly talk about? Like, you know, when you first meet them, you're like, he's just going to be driving Mr. Edwards everywhere. They can't possibly even have a conversation. But as the book goes on, you know, they develop a friendship and their characters are developed and you get to actually kind of have a deeper understanding of who these people are. Mm-hmm. And you sort of become compassionate to them.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Very wealthy people, obviously, the Edwards. But I don't know, something about the relationship between the Edwards and the Jendes, that's like, wow, you know, like there's a way I feel like back home when someone is wealthy and even with the way they talk like to someone who's like the guard or the maid,
mm-hmm.
there's really that class thing.
Condescending,
like,
yeah.
Yes. With them, I felt like, yes, they were wealthy, but the relationship between them and the Jendes was just kind of like, okay, like they're really friends, you know?
Even
yes. Like, it is a work boss relationship, but it doesn't come off that way. So in many ways, like you said, you feel compassionate towards them. You're like, oh, okay, you know, like you love them, you know? You don't feel like they're people who are looking down to people who are less than, right?
Correct.
Even like in their class. So, but Cindy's mm-hmm. character, we see it evolve. She's, you know, she's married to a wealthy man, Wall Street, but we also find out eventually, you know, she grew up poor and then obviously now she married this rich guy, but she has so many struggles, right? She mm-hmm. drinks alcohol, takes drugs. And I don't know, what do you think fuels her struggles?
Cindy, when you meet her, she looks like she's like Nanny's dream, right? She lives in America. She has this wealthy husband. You know, they have different homes. They have like their regular home in New York City, and then they have like their vacation home in the Hamptons. You know, it looks from the outside, it looks like she has everything. You would think she has it all, but inevitably she still ends up committing, you know, she dies.
Yeah.
Which shows that she wasn't. Yeah, she was not happy. Despite having it all, she still wasn't happy. She was a very unhappy woman. She always wanted to fit in, but seems like she never really did. And to me, it seemed like her main source of happiness was her husband and her children, but they weren't really like reciprocating their love and their affection.
I know.
Yeah.
In fact, even when she dies, I don't know if you remember in the book, it's really highlighted, like we now know about her death. And it's like, well, her oldest son is somewhere in India trying to find himself. Her husband is, I don't know where, in London, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then her friends are shopping somewhere. I don't know. Uh-huh. Lonely, you know, like,
She was very lonely despite seeming like she had it all, like friends, a husband, children, you know, anything that a woman would ever want. But she was still innately very, very unhappy.
And so does Jende's job as Clark's driver expose him to the hidden struggles of the wealthy, do you think?
Yes. Because he's able to see, like, for example, he obviously knew that Mr. Edwards was having affairs. So, and of course, because remember when Cindy calls him up to the house and tells him to write down everywhere that he takes Mr. Edwards. And he's like, wow, despite everything and despite seeming like the perfect couple, you know, perfect marriage, they too have their struggles. They too have their challenges. She could, and of course, he being in the driver's seat, he could always listen to their conversations, and he could hear her conversations with her friends, with her husband, with her children, all the disappointment. So he really did. And it ended up being the reason why he lost his job, really.
So what was your reaction on Jende's asylum case being denied? And did you see that coming?
Yes. Right from the very start, I felt like Jende and his cousin, they didn't pick the right lawyer. He just seemed sketchy, like right from the get-go. The advice he was giving them just was questionable. I mean, he was asking Jende to say that he was scared for his life because his wife's father was after him, was after his life, and yet his wife came over to America with his son.
Right.
So the story just seemed a little sketchy right from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a bogus story. And it's funny because I remember not knowing what asylum was when I first came and just trying to find ways to make life easy for myself. I had asked around and someone had advised me that apply for asylum. But when I looked it up, I found that Zambia was not even on the list. So I saw that, I was like, yo, mama, yo.
I think asylum is one of those cases you really have to prove your stuff. Like, your stuff has to be really correct.
Correct. Story, pictures, everything. You have to be lying.
Yeah. Not back up your stuff. Yeah. Pictures.
You can't come saying that you impregnated someone so you're scared of the father and they're coming to get you.
I know. What a reason.
People are like, wow, they're not going to reason and think that's, yeah. So, yeah, from the beginning, I also thought this is not going to go. So, you know, I saw it coming, but I just always wondered because Jende came here as a visitor. He was invited by his cousin Winston, who was a permanent resident and I think a citizen at that point. He'd won the green card, became here, became a lawyer, working for Wall Street guys. And he invited Jende as a visitor, and then Jende in turn brought his wife, who came as a student. And I actually always wondered why, once the wife came here on an F1 visa, I don't know why he couldn't switch to F2 visa, because I don't know, maybe because he was the one paying for, I don't know. I just thought that was strange. So I thought that's something I'd look into. And I, something to ask an immigration lawyer to explain, because I wondered why he didn't do that, because it ended up affecting his son too, because his son, who he brought as a visitor, and then his visa expired.
Because
it got denied when it was time to go back. It's like, okay, will our son be able to come back, you know? So that was a struggle. All right.
Yeah. And also, sorry, what did you think of that lawyer throughout the whole, did you think that he was giving Jende false hope?
He did. What was his name? Baba something. Bubaka.
Bubaka, yes. Just giving him false hope, telling him, you know, at this point, it's going to be another 3 years before they even get to your case. Immigration is backed up. And then that after that, those 3 years, it's going to be another 1 year before you can stand before the judge. And then even once you stand before the judge, it's going to be another. At this, by the end of your case, you have raised your kids. You have built your things back in Cameroon. I mean, he promised him like another 20 years.
Know, but you know what? Okay, I see what you're saying. So I think I may have misunderstood what you asked. So for me, I thought that even as he was telling him the story he was going to use, Bubaka knew that was a bogus story himself. So I wondered if he did this to other people who may have been ignorant to immigration stuff. And you know that people are paying you, and you know you're using stories that don't even, you know, like, come on, why would you... use a story like that. However, I thought that part, what he was saying was true. It was kind of like saying buy time, but in that buying time, someone is not free, kind of. It's like he's just living in limbo. So for me, it was his hope for Jende just to sort of like be happy that you can live in limbo, because in the meantime, you can do stuff, you know? You can do stuff, whatever, build something, and then in the end, I'm still going back. You know, it felt like, and you know, you're always walking with, you know, you're always looking over your shoulder. Worrying, is somebody here?
Yeah, because he could also just have gone out of status and just, and not gone back home.
Correct.
And then, and then just like fall through the cracks.
But
now
you already have this thing. So I felt like, Bubaka, just eating people. I'm so mad at Bubaka, you know. And I only think the only genuine thing he might have said was when he shared his struggles, you know, and I think that was legit.
Yes.
So for me, if you knew how hard it was for you when you first came to this country, you even say, man, no go, no suffer until you enter America. yes, I should know that. Then you better have this stuff right for the people, you know, fight for the people the right way, you know. And do the right things and just help people instead of using people, and you're making money off of that. You know, your children are going to good schools, and you use something that now just, you know, somebody's going back and they can't live their life freely, you know, in the way that you do. So, okay. So Nene obviously also, you know, works for Cindy in their summer, you know, summer house.
Their summer home in the Hamptons.
So how does Nene...
5-bedroom vacation home.
You know? So how does Nene's work for Cindy change her perspective on privilege and desperation? Because we do see her blackmail Cindy touch a bit on that.
Yeah, I mean, Nene, even coming from Cameroon, she still comes from a family that wasn't like very, very poor. Okay, so she comes from like a little bit of privilege back in Cameroon. But I mean, even this, like the Edwards wealth is like a whole new level of wealth, you know? She's very surprised at how beautiful the house is, how well decorated it is, the kind of foods they eat, you know? Everything about it is just like so surprising. Yeah, so I always wonder if the photo that she took of Miss Edwards, if she took it innocently, or if she was advised by her friend Betty to take that photo, because it was just like, how did she know that she was ever going to use that photo? What do you think?
Me too. That threw me off, actually. That really threw me off. When she produced the picture to Miss Edwards to say, I had, you know, when blackmailing her, I was surprised because I didn't think, because when she was at the home and she found her that way, because remember her husband even kept telling her, don't get involved, don't be in their business. And Baronia Betty was like, oh, call somebody, you know, and stuff like that. So I also always wondered, and I'm like, okay, so but why did she take the picture? Like for what? For who?
Yeah. I guess she's explanation was that she just wanted, in case Miss Edwards died, she wanted to tell the authorities that that's how she found her. Yeah. But still, you know, I always question like,
Yeah, that's kind of like suspect. Because even in that, someone can say, okay, what, you killed and then you took the picture?
Yeah. Yes. You can still say that.
So, yeah, it, yes. Unless somehow she always knew that perhaps she could use it, you know?
Yeah.
Against her. Or maybe it happened multiple times after that time, and with Anna trying to tell her husband. Remember, Anna was the other maid
who
was telling Nene, like, tell her husband this is what she's doing.
Yes.
And I wonder, like, in that process, she had also taken that picture. So that she's telling Mr. Edwards, maybe she can show the picture, like, you know, even though they never went through with that plan. But anyway, good for her that she had that picture. So what do you make of... Actually, before I ask you this question, talking about the wealthy and good food, you know, I feel like when we come here, we always like to say like, the food in America is not good, our food back home. And I think it's true. But let me tell you, it's true. You know, Nene says it.
She saw food like she had not seen.
Rich people have catering and they food. You know that there is yummy food in this country. You will know. Stella, I don't even know. You can tell. Like, remember when we went for that conference last year? The, what was it called? Pointer, counterpoint?
The yes.
So they can cook quinoa like
they
this.
They eat well.
There's the way the bread is, the butter, like everything.
That's, yes.
It's like there are levels.
Yes, and it's healthy too.
Quality. So yes, I believe her. When she said, she thought, you know, I said, of course, this cheap food we buy tastes bland, this mass-produced stuff.
Yes.
And when they both are catered for, you eat that food, you will say, wow.
Yeah. She had a good time in the Hamptons.
And then Anna gave her all the food she should give me. She packed it. Let me take this home. What do you mean?
Yes.
I thought that was interesting. So anyway, what did you make of Nene's decision to blackmail Cindy?
That part I truly didn't like. I didn't like that. I mean, okay, so let me not say that way. Let me just say I was conflicted. I felt very conflicted. I sort of understood why she did it, but I just didn't like that she did it anyway, you know? Because I felt like Miss Edwards had sort of shown kindness to them. She had helped. Remember when one time Jendi's brother called to ask for school fees for his children, and Miss Edwards happened to listen in on the conversation, and then she wrote Jendi a check worth $500. And, you know, she was very nice to Nene in the Hamptons, and she had given her like, extra clothes and stuff. You know, like they were generally nice. They treated Jende and Nene with dignity, even though they were their workers. So I just felt like the end was just like that was so bad. Like that was so bad what she did to Cindy. And not only that, her relationship with Cindy's children, you know, those children loved her. They wanted to come to, you know, to where Jende and Nene lived, which was like a not so nice neighborhood. They felt like such a deep connection with Nene and Jende. I just felt horrible. I felt horrible that even in the end, remember when they wanted like a mother figure for the clerk's younger son, and the older son recommended Nene, but she couldn't do it because she remembered what she had done to her mother, to the boy's mother. Yeah.
It's like she destroyed some relationships.
She really did.
She could have, even with Anna, because that's what the relationship, she started thinking she wished Anna had been her friend. But because of all that, you know, they couldn't be friends, right? Because they sort of argued over her going there to blackmail Anyway, she walked away with $10,000, which I'm sure helped them when they went back to Cameroon.
Yes, but still. But do you think Mr. Edwards ever knew that she had blackmailed Cindy?
I don't think so. Because if he knew, because remember even when Jende called him to like give his condolences, he was like welcoming and even to say bye when he was going back to Cameroon, he even offered to make some calls, because at that point he was like, oh my god, is there a way I can help you? I know some people, I can make some calls.
Yes.
And remember, he also gave some money when they were going back to Cameroon.
Yes.
$5,000 or something. So if he'd known about the blackmailing, I don't think all that would have happened.
Yeah. And also, I don't think Cindy would have told him, because she always wanted to keep it a secret that she was using, you know, all these drugs. So she would have had to provide, like, produce the picture and tell him the whole story in the Hamptons. So there's no way Cindy was doing that.
Cindy wasn't about that.
She was not telling him. She had an image to uphold.
Yeah, all right. So in chapter 52, I believe, Jende has decided, you know what? I think that because at this point, the asylum has been denied. He's gone back to see the judge. And he has decided, you know what? I'm going to just leave voluntarily, because he's already been now like for deportation. Like, you're going to be deported out of the country. You've already received this letter.
Yes.
And he volunteers to leave. Okay. So first of all, Boubacar gives his speech about his struggles in America, whatever. And then, but Jende is also having this conversation. But you can see that Winston is having this conversation with Jende. And Jende is just like, I don't get it. This country, you come here, you're just struggling through and through. It's like he's had this epiphany, this moment where it is so clear to him, like, this can't be the life. I'm going back home.
Yes.
And what I find interesting is Winston saying to him, you know what? Actually, even me, when people ask me about coming to America now, you know, because remember, Winston is the one who bought him a ticket to come here. He said, I'm very quick to tell people, pause, think, look around just where you are.
Yes. Yes.
What do you make of that? And what do you tell people today when they ask you, I want to come to America? Like, how do those conversations go like?
You know, I always say, after having gone through immigration struggles myself, I always say the best way you can come to America is on a green card. You see those green card lotteries that everybody encourages their family to apply for, but nobody takes it seriously? That's what you need to focus on, because that's the best way to come to America. Once you come, you know, with your immigration status set, you're good. Like, you don't have an additional struggle. But if you don't have that, you're going to start from scratch. Like, and another thing, if you know that you're a professional and you already have like a good job and a good life, maybe coming to America is something you should really think and rethink again. Because if you're coming here as a professional, you've left a good job back home, and you're coming here and you are having to start from the beginning, meaning that you have to take like the lower paying jobs and minimum wages, you're going to struggle and you're going to feel like the shock. And you know, you're coming from a lifestyle where you're used to having things in a certain way, and you have to start from the beginning, from the bottom. It's going to be difficult. So my little piece of advice is, if you can, just try to get like a green card lottery, or try to figure out a way other than having to get here and then try to figure it out from here. What do you think?
And over the years, my perspectives have really changed. And even just from talking to other people, right? In fact, yesterday I had a wonderful conversation with Ruben. And when I asked him that question, and I remember he said something interesting. He said, no, I would say find opportunities where you are. Because I feel like, especially young people, right? The youth, I think there's just the same image we were sold. There's just this thing about America, right? When you watch the movies, everything comes from here, the music videos. Even though obviously now with social media, things have changed. There's a bit more, people know a little bit more about maybe like
America.
Still not as much. Still, it's still the place people are reaching for. And sometimes I wonder, like, if you ask people why, people just, well, because it's America, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe not so much, you know, like, truly, like, it shouldn't, don't think there are no opportunities where you are. Because yes. Then I think people can't see what's in front of them.
Uh-huh. They'll be thinking that you're blocking them.
But I get it. It's hard. It's hard everywhere. So you people are trying to feed themselves and trying to feed their families. I get it. But even as young people, like, think about, like, where you are, what can you innovate, what services, like, this is not the only place. So find opportunities there. But if you should come, I agree, play the lottery. Try and come on a green card. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come for school and maybe yourself pay, look maybe for other universities across Africa. That way, maybe when you come here, you're just coming for a master's, you're just coming sort of for a shorter period of time. Because that's why it becomes difficult, right? For example, I came like undergrad. It's 4 years. Mm-hmm. Then you realize you can't even pay these 4 years. So what do I do? Transfer to a community college. You got? Then you take yourself backwards. And then you're also thinking, what should I study? What should I study? Because you're not going to graduate with an associate degree from a community college and find a company that's going to hire you and then do your paperwork. That's a long shot. It's never happened.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why for me, in my case, when I transferred to a community college, I asked myself a question. What is it can I do at a community college and graduate and somebody can hire me? And the only answer was nursing, right? Mm-hmm. Nursing is the only thing you can go to the community college, get an associate degree, sit for your RN licensure exam, and a hospital can hire you and file for you, you know, even on the OPT. Mm-hmm. So then you find yourself making all these decisions, going backwards, forwards. And over time, I've always wondered whether that's worth it. You know, because then you end up even doing something you never thought of, maybe something you don't like, you know, taking yourself back and forth. So look at other universities in Africa, consider starting there, get your undergrad, and then maybe you can say, okay, maybe let me look for scholarships or master's is 2 years. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with you coming just to experience it for a couple of years or whatever, just to see, you know, it's not to say absolutely don't come, but yes. And to people who are stable with a good job, I would say the same thing. You have a good job, you're stable, because what we also don't realize that, for example, when I came, I was like 22, you are behind already. You are literally 22 years behind. That's what it is.
Correct.
You know?
There's so much information that you need to learn, and you need to learn it quickly.
You're already behind. So by the time you're catching up to the whole thing, you're like, oh my God, I needed to wake up like 20 years ago, you mean? Because you're so behind with everything. There's so much you have to catch up on. So yeah, it's a very difficult thing, but people just always want to come to America. And I'm like, you don't, you know? You don't want to come and go through all these struggles. But if you win the lottery, you come here as a green card holder, and if you don't like it, you can even go back, come back, and maybe for your children, for school, if you would like to send your children to school here, they can come in state, you know, if you have the green card. So, you know, and that's all fine. But any other way, unless you can just really afford it, if you can afford it, that's a different story, because this is not for people who can afford it. If you can afford it, I mean, you choose where you want to go, you know?
Yeah.
If you're doing the struggle bus like the one we were doing, the one you were banking on working
that's
to
difficult.
Survive, that one.
I mean, yeah, if you're coming as a student, unless your parents are going to pay your school fees, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to work and go to school at the same time.
And things have changed even, right? Because remember, there was a time you could just walk into a hair store, get a job. Now things are tight. Everybody wants all this documentation. Like, you really just can't walk anywhere and now find a job. So you add that layer to it.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's tough. You have to start from scratch. Yeah,
especially in this current political climate. It's really, really difficult. So, and speaking of that, since I spoke about nursing, we did say that Neni is very, very ambitious. So what Neni really wanted to study was become a pharmacist. And her husband was supporting her. But obviously, at this point, the husband's asylum has been denied. He has decided that they will just go back to Africa. And she's also now trying to figure out, like, how, because, I mean, this drove her crazy because she wanted to stay. And she gets a letter from, is it, oh my God.
From the Alpha, yes, Theta,
yes,
Kappa.
Yes, I've had time with that, the P, the H, but that's sorority. Gets that, and she finds out that she could get scholarships if Dean nominated.
Yes.
And God, she has some guts on her. She figures out how to get to the Dean, has this conversation with the Dean so the Dean can nominate her. And mind you, even when she was nominated, she was on medical leave because she had the baby. So she wasn't even in school that semester, but still, because meaning her grades were, she was smart. Her grades were really good.
Yes.
She has this conversation with the dean, which the dean was very condescending to her because the dean is advising her that, you know, perhaps you shouldn't be doing pharmacy. You should consider doing LPN or, you know, like some lesser courses. So he was condescending to her. And but he also did say some right things, but obviously in the wrong way. I think his intention was to make her small.
Yes.
But tell me about that very advice coming from somebody else. What do you think about this whore? You want to study? What should have Neni done?
So the guy was trying to tell her that it was going to be such a long shot for her to go straight to pharmacy, right? He was advising her that maybe she should try something that will take a shorter period of time, maybe like a nursing or med tech or even like LPN and I think something else, right? But like you said, the way he was saying it was in such a condescending manner that she couldn't even receive it. She received it as, you don't think that I can achieve anything and you just want to kill my dream the same way that you killed your dream. And that's the reason why you're sitting in this office in your unhappy job. But this circles back to the conversation, to what we just said before this, which is depending on how you get here, depending on if you don't come here with a green card, even if you come with a green card, right? You're starting afresh. Your life is starting afresh. That means that everyone comes to America with their dreams, with their goals. But once you get here, things on the ground are a little bit different. Once you start talking to people, you start realizing that you have to go to school and there's bills to be paid. You have to work. So you have to figure out, you probably might have to make some adjustments. And when you talk to people, some people might give you advice. Some people are more receptive to their advice. They are like, okay, maybe I should try something else to try to shorten my period of like this suffering period. But some people will take that same piece of advice and think, like you don't think much of me. You just think that, you know, you're trying to minimize my future. So it just depends on who's telling you, how they're telling you, and you as the recipient, what you think.
I absolutely agree. And the reason I ask this, because I've heard many people say, oh, someone asked me to make myself small. They told me I should go study nursing. Because for some people, that doesn't make sense, right? Maybe their parents are able to pay for university, and it's like, why are you telling me to do that? Because people, I think when they're giving that advice, they generalize it to everybody. Or do nursing. But not everybody's in that situation. For me, yes, it makes sense because I was self-pay. Yeah. The only thing I was able to pay for was like the first semester. But beyond that, I had been banking on working here. So it made sense. It meant that, okay, I had to pivot. I had to leave my business studies and just go do nursing. It made sense. But for some people, it doesn't, right? So we get to see in the book that Jende at some point just realizes, because he loses his job with the Edwards. He's not earning as much as he used to. He's now doing the odd jobs, cleaning dishes here, cleaning dishes there. He's not seeing his family. And usually that's what happens. You're doing odd jobs. You need two or three just to pay your bills because he's the one supporting his wife going back to school. And they have a new baby. And we know how expensive that is. And he just comes to this point where he's like, no, his back hurts. He decides. He says, you know what? I think going back home is the best option. He is on deportation. Like, he's going to leave anyway. So what's the point? So he accepts it and just realizes, you know what? It's time to go back home. So how do you feel about Jende forcing Neni to agree with this decision? Was he being selfish or realistic?
I think he was being realistic because he realized that getting papers like tomorrow was not going to change anything for him. he was still going to end up living in the same neighborhood that he does, doing the same jobs that are stressing him out and causing his health to go in the negative direction. So I just feel like he made the right decision for him and for his family. I think he made the right decision. He realized that, you know what, America, the American dream that he had turned out to be something else. It just wasn't, you know, a bed of roses anymore. And when he thought back on his life, he realized that, oh my gosh, I had a much better life and my way of living was much better than what I'm experiencing in New York right now. And how much longer can I let this go on, you know? So I felt that even though he fought with Nanny and it was like the biggest fight of their marriage, he still ended up making the right decision. What did you think?
It's just like yeah. I said, Nanny was so fixated on staying in New York. It drove her crazy. She almost had her son adopted by somebody. And I was thinking, what? You're going to leave your son in New York with some stranger? Like, just because of America?
Yeah.
You know, don't you want your family together?
Yeah.
She loved him. So obviously she did go with him. They loved each other, actually. So, and they started the family. And it's not like they were going back to a decent life, right? Like, he had saved some money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He had all these ideas for business and everything. And I think Winston even offered to hire him on some projects that he was doing, you know, in Cameroon. So I think it was the best option. I feel like the only part I feel was her career. I think she really, really wanted like a career. But I guess there's a point where you have to choose at that stage in their lives. So hopefully maybe while back in Cameroon, she picked up somewhere on something, right? She'll probably go back to school and do something and still have her family together. So yeah, I think she was being more selfish than he was.
Yes, she definitely was. I mean, and I really sympathize with her because like we said, before she came to America, she really wasn't doing much with her life. And you can tell that she's a very smart person, but she just found herself in like bad circumstances where she wasn't really doing much or like what she had hoped to do. So she finally got this opportunity to come to America and finally she could realize her dreams. She could be anything she wanted to be. And she was determined, you know, but ultimately Jende's decision, in my opinion, was the best overall for the family.
Like, yes. Going out of status, and then now you end up like her friends, Betty and Fatou, you know, like you're still.
Yes. Always looking over your back. Later,
and you had one of her friends, I think it was Fatou, who now had 7 children and had always wished to go back home, but now she can't because it's 7 children, you know.
Yeah.
She might have ended up, and her daughter was a citizen, so who knows, you know, what would have happened in the future. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, you're going to ask me some questions as well, if you have any. How did you feel about the way the book ended? I think we just talked about that. I think it's the same thing.
So as you read the book, the characters are so well developed that you feel you get a sense that you kind of know someone a little better. But of course, as you know, stress can change somebody and it can really make someone do things that you never thought they were gonna do. So for me, I felt like I was a little bit surprised by like how violent Jende got. Like right there when he was having an argument with Nanny and he finally like hit her. And I was just like, whoa, like you're taking this a little too far. Huh? But for you, what were other things that were like surprising about any of the characters in the book that you were like, like, you know?
For me, Fatou, right? When she reveals, like, I have these 7 children, and she reveals kind of like it's not my decision because, you know, she's essentially telling Nanny that we, the wives, we just listen to what our husbands tell us.
Husbands, you know?
She says, and why do you think I have 7 children?
Yeah. Usman. Was it Usman? He was the one running the shots, calling the shots, making all the decisions.
You know, like, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of like surprising. And then you find like even with these seven children, she can't even travel with them. She feels like they think they're better than her. They don't even want to say like they're African. Like this one, they want to be considered just American. I actually felt sorry for like Fatou in some ways. And I wondered how many people, like that's their reality. Right. Also, on the other hand, one of the things that happened, like I was discussing with Ruben yesterday, they're starting this cultural thing for children, is that when you start living here, it's so expensive. So going back home, you realize going back home is expensive. It's not cheap. And mm-hmm. so in your mind, you think, oh, I'll be going home with my kids every year, every 2 years. But it doesn't happen that way. You go once in 10 years.
Yes.
Next thing you know, it's once in 10 years. At that point, they're already 21. So they're also disconnected from that.
Yes.
So I wondered if it was also just you know? But it made me wonder, like, I wonder how many people this is like the reality today.
Yeah. I mean, it is expensive traveling with kids. Just a family of, say, two parents, two children. You're looking at just tickets alone, right? And this is economy. You're looking at what, maybe 10 grand? Yeah. And then you have to figure out where you're going to stay, what you're going to eat, how you're going to get from point A to point B. And, you know, if you have to give money here and there. I mean, how often can you give up that amount every year? Yeah? It's not sustainable.
It's not. You can't. Yeah. Not sustainable. You can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And you know, when he physically abused Nene, I was just like, I didn't like that. Yeah. I didn't like that at all. Yeah. And actually, I wondered if she would leave him. But when she said no, she believed that it wasn't
in Africa.
She believed that. She believed that whatever beat him wasn't Jende. It wasn't a James, okay?
Yeah.
Because she said, if he does it again, I will talk to Winston. And if he does it again, I'll call his mother, Mama Janga, to talk some sense to him. In my mind, I'm like,
yes.
She believed. But actually, you know, another thing that really that stood out is how she wanted to give up Leomi for adoption.
Yes, that's another one. She did a few things that were surprising, actually, Nene. You know, extorting money from Cindy. And then now wanting to give up their son for adoption to strangers. Two strangers. Stress can really change your character, you know? You just like, you find yourself making decisions that you never thought you would.
Imagine Leomi, you know, being raised by, you know, I think it was a gay couple. I mean, your identity just gets thrown off until you're like, what? Who are my people? Like, yeah, no, that would have been messed up. Yeah.
Yes.
That, I was like, girl.
Yeah.
Going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, what did you think about the Edward's older son? And he's wanting, you know, this anti-establishment free life. And him having this conversation with Jende. And Jende, you know, Jende is here in America because he's hopeful that his son will have a bright future. He doesn't mind that he'll be happy if his son chose to be a lawyer. And now here he is friendly with this rich man's son, who is dropping out of law school to go to India to just become like free. What did you think about that?
So,
okay.
It's such an eye opener, right? You know, we have what we call rich people's problems, right? Because if the Clarks, the Edwards, they have so much money, right? It doesn't even matter what the son decides to do in his life.
Yes, he'll still be okay.
Inheritance is... what it's going to be. But what happens, I think, as parents, we want our children to live out our dreams. Okay? So my son is a lawyer, my son is, all these doctors, all these things. But children are their own beings, right? And someone like that who already has privilege, if I don't like law, what am I going to law school for? So I feel like I'm very aware of that in the book, but I can see where Jende is coming from. Like, you know, Why?
Yes.
Come all the way here.
Why would you not take advantage of this opportunity?
I would want my son to be a lawyer, which is where you see sometimes I feel like maybe even as Africans, we might struggle with our child now today. If your child comes and tells you, okay, no, me, I just want to go do dance. Huh? You'd be there thinking dance. Yes.
After all the struggles I've gone through in this immigration America.
What you mean dance? But it's one of those things I've just realized that, you know, really maybe life is just cyclic. So yes, I don't blame him for not wanting to go to law school. And I'm happy for him that he can make that decision to just go find himself, go to India, go do his Buddhism or whatever he was going to do. He already has privilege, so he can choose. You know, like he doesn't have to.
Yes.
He doesn't have to.
It really, it really showed his privilege that he can, he really has freedom of choice. Yeah. He can really just do that and still be okay.
But whereas for somebody else, it's like, you don't even have that choice of dance, okay?
No. Yeah, you don't.
Yes.
Depending on your background, some people are like the only people here in America and they come from like poor backgrounds and their whole family is looking at them waiting. Yeah. So someone like that may not have like that much freedom of choice like that. But but like being an Edward's son, yes, absolutely. If you want to do absolutely nothing or you want to be whatever it is you want to be, you can be that.
God changed the world. And you see that his dad is accepting of it, right? But he has this moment, moment with Jende, they're sitting in the park and they're like, you know, we're both watching the sunset or the sunrise or whatever it is.
We're
all still looking for this peace, this kind of peace. So, you know, however you find it, go find it, you know?
Yes.
All that was unnecessary. Law school. It was more like for the parents.
Yeah.
You know how it'd be.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that was it. I mean, this was just like a really, really beautiful, beautiful, well-written book. Right. Very relatable. So
would you recommend this book to someone?
Absolutely, 100%. I would.
And do you think Nelly would have stayed if she had the choice?
Yes, 100%. Nenny would have stayed. And you know, I interestingly, why do you think she still left? Do you think she could have just had the disagreement with Jende and been like, you know what, if you want to go, you go ahead and go, I'm staying.
She loved her husband, that's for sure, and she loved her family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why she eventually she went, because if she didn't, she could have stayed.
Yeah.
But she has this moment with the, what's her name? Is it Natasha? She's like a...
Oh, yes, the pastor at the church that she started going to, yes.
Give her her son for adoption. And I remember her asking, so all this just to stay in America? Like, do you want to give up your marriage, your family? Because Jende was loyal to her, right? Everything we did was actually for her. Yeah. Even as they're going back, he's telling her, you're going to be like a queen back home. Even the house he's found for them was more for her. You know, the car, the house, you know, like decent life. So she did love her husband. She knew that there's one thing I have from my husband is his loyalty and his support. And he wasn't even supporting his career. It's just that they couldn't pay. So he is the guy.
Yes. Beating. Me, you know, at that beating is where I thought, now she's really not going.
But then when she said, no, the first stop to Winston, and then I said,
you're going.
It's not him. It's some monster.
It's not him.
So she went back, you know, and then before you know, she has her daughter. I think she just came around, and I'm sure she's living like a queen down in Cameroon. Her daughter is probably back in college here somewhere. Well, that's the end of this review. Stella, thank you so much, and we hope to have you back for many, many more reviews, because there are a lot of books to cover. My book recommendation for next month will be, well, actually, I don't know when this will drop, this episode. It might drop in the month of April, and that will be My Parents' Marriage by Nana Ekua Brew Hammond. It's also a wonderful book. It's also an immigrant story. It's a couple. You all guys should read it. All right. So don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. All right, Stella, say goodbye to our listeners.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me, Zenith.
Until the next episode, it's goodbye and take care.
That was good.